God, may the light of your word dispel any darkness we carry with us this day. Amen. Well, what has changed for you, and what has changed in our world this past week? As Pastor Wendell said at the beginning of the service, we had a death in our family with the death of Wendell's father, Lee, this past Friday. Those of you who have lost a parent or a spouse or someone else close to you know that this brings big changes in the lives of you and your family members. If you have spent much time outside, you realize that we are experiencing a change of seasons as daffodils and other early spring flowers are beginning to bloom. The hours of sunlight in the day are also changing. The sun is setting a little bit later each day so that our days are gradually becoming longer. The stock market did much changing this past week, taking huge leaps down, up, back down, and back up. The reasons and consequences of such volatility and whether or not it will continue to make radical changes is still unknown. My television viewing has changed this past week because of the beginning of the Winter Olympics. I love to watch the Olympics, so I plan to spend more time watching TV the next 2 weeks than I usually do. Well, were you to add your input into what has changed for you this past week, or what has changed in our world, I'm sure our collective responses could more than fill the next hour and continue beyond that, but we won't do that at this time. Change is a constant in our lives and in our world. Some changes are welcome, eagerly embraced, and bring us joy and energy. Other changes can be very difficult and challenge us in new ways that sometimes threaten us and threaten our joy and energy. Thus, perhaps it's good from time to time to ponder how changes are also able to change us, sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and the word transfiguration means to be changed in form, to be transformed. So it might be good for us to ask the question, how does God wish to change us and to change our world? Do we find any clues in answering that question from today's gospel reading where Jesus is transfigured and transformed? It might be helpful to begin by looking at all the things that change in the course of this reading. First, the setting and context changes. Jesus leads just three of the 12 disciples from Caesarea Philippi up to a high mountain apart from the other disciples by themselves. It's a small group experience. Perhaps some of you have had a chance to stand on tall mountains like the one on our screen with a small group. Once at the top of the mountain, Jesus changes. His clothes become dazzling white. Then they are no longer by themselves. Elijah and Moses are suddenly there with Jesus. The disciples become terrified because of what they are seeing and they are experiencing. These changes are just out of the realm of anything they've ever experienced. The atmosphere changes that happened to us during the solar eclipse. We were aware of the change in temperature. The whole atmosphere changes. A cloud overshadows them, and a voice comes from the cloud. Then, just as quickly as everything had changed, it just as quickly returns to as it was. They and Jesus are by themselves on the mountaintop. Yet I dare say that neither Jesus nor Peter, James, and John are able to be the same after this. Whatever else happened, Jesus seemed to find the resolve he needed to continue his journey to the cross after that. Peter, James, and John, on the other hand, may not have been immediately transformed. After all, despite the command from the cloud to listen to Jesus, they found it impossible to listen to him not long afterwards when he told them to stay awake while he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yet, after Jesus rose from the dead, I can't help but think that what they experienced with Jesus on the mountain that day helped them be the disciples they came to be. I can't help but believe that they learned the value of listening to Jesus more clearly after the resurrection, after when he was with them only in spirit rather than in bodily form. I believe that Jesus came back down the mountain that day because he wished to change his disciples and he wished to change the world. I believe that the resurrected Jesus went from the glory of the mountain to the suffering and glory of the cross because he still wishes to change us and to change our world. Perhaps what never changes amid all the other changes of our lives is the need to listen to God's word, the resurrected one, to be sustained, to find hope, and to share hope with others. When forces in the world threaten to change our world for the worse, God wishes to change it for the better. When life's tosses and turns threaten to suck the life, joy, and hope out of us, I believe God wishes to use the changes in our lives, even the most difficult ones, to change us for the better. I believe we listen to the word and are changed by that word when we gather here on scripture, eat and pray. When we receive bread and wine, we hear the words that it is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ given for us, given for you, given for me. We remember our baptism in which God calls us and names us beloved. These are the means of grace given to change us, so that through us, God, bit by bit, changes our world. This is how we become transformed. This is how we carry a candle into the darkness to lighten our world. So go from here amid the changes of this past week and the changes of this next week to be light for the world. Go and be the light of Christ. Amen.